everybody. This is Heidi St. John. Thanks for tuning in today. You have found me at America's Town Hall. This is a brand new podcast that we launched a couple of weeks ago. And the purpose here is to bring people on the show who are actually getting off the bench and onto the battlefield to answer your questions. And today I've got an amazing human being on the show with me. Mark Thielman is here today, and he is currently running for the governor of Oregon. Can you guys hear the angels sing? I can hear the angels sing. Right now, Oregon, like Washington State, is literally and figuratively on fire. And this is largely because we have allowed for the last probably two or three, or in some cases four decades, to have activists and radical progressive leftists and progressive Democrats running these states and these institutions. And we have a personal connection because I went to high school with Mark's wife and I reconnected with her recently. And she said, oh, my goodness, you know, my husband's about to announce a run for governor in the state of Oregon. So I invited him to come on the show. And I know you guys are going to be encouraged. Mark, welcome.
Well, thank you for having me.
So let's start at the very beginning. How long have you lived in the great state of Oregon?
Well, I was recruited to come to Oregon back in 2006.
Okay.
And they basically lied to me. They said it was just like Washington.
So it's just like Washington. Yeah. And so you are currently working as a public school superintendent. And so, as you can imagine, you know, my platform largely has been education for the last 20 years. I've been talking, warning people, hey, you guys, parents should be involved in the education of their children. You don't just drop your child off somewhere and expect that somebody is going to love them like you do, have the same values that you do. You're doing something really interesting in the Alcee School District. And so I kind of like to get kind of start back, because I want to get to your run for governor, but I want people to know who you are first and what you're passionate about. So you really care about these kids. Mm-hmm. How long have you worked in the public school system?
Well, I've been a little over 20 years total in between. I started in Washington and obviously went to Oregon. I was in my early, around mid-30s, and it's hard to be a superintendent in Washington when you're in your mid-30s. There aren't very many that young. Mm-hmm. So I went to Oregon, where there was a great vacuum of leadership.
There's still a great vacuum of leadership.
Yes.
One could argue.
And, you know, and it's been good, but, you know, the dynamic has changed a little bit because I actually went the opposite way. Instead of starting in small schools and moving up my career to bigger systems like I had planned, I've actually gone the other way around. So now I'm in this little tiny school district, and Alcee, up until a few years ago, it was the 11th smallest school district in Oregon, not geographically, but in terms of numbers. It's a depressed kind of logging town that died in with the death of logging.
Yep.
And there's loggers and ranchers, and it's a wonderful little community.
As I say, you got the kind of the salt of the earth people there.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, it's very small towns are actually very complicated places to live. You would, you know, it's not like Mayberry like you were taught. There's a lot of, you know, cliques and little camps and a lot of distrust of the outside and distrust of people with degrees. So that's how I started.
That's warranted.
But now it's been 10 years. I'm the longest serving superintendent in the history of the Alcee School District, at least that they can tell, going back to the late 30s when the district was formed. Mm-hmm. And what's kind of neat about it is now I'm kind of at a place where, you know, I'm kind of plugged in. Mm-hmm. And so I'm the de facto mayor sometimes. And, you know, I work with the fire chief, and then sometimes I correspond with the county. So I have to say, it's never boring.
Right. And I actually love this because, you know, I'm running for Congress in Washington State in the 3rd Congressional, and I've been traveling all over the district talking to people. And I said last night in Cowlitz County, you know, I think we got to go back to how we used to do things. You know, back in the 40s and the 50s and the 30s, when we did town halls and the superintendent was working with the fire chief, and we're working because these are communities and these decisions that are made are impacting real people and they have real world consequences. And so shouldn't we all be talking to each other? You know, what would happen if we started really listening to the citizens that we're supposed to be representing? And so this is what you've been doing, is representing really parents and students in the public school system. And one of the first questions that came to my mind when I heard that you were a superintendent was, wow, you know, what are you telling parents right now? Because so much of what's wrong in our country is coming down from these the schools who are no longer teaching our children how to think. They're teaching them what to think.
Yeah.
And you and I were talking a moment ago about a solution to that. And you're saying it really starts with parents.
It absolutely starts with parents. So the success of the ALSI school district, which is we have a brick and mortar called ALSI Charter School, K-12. Mm-hmm. We also have a preschool. I serve on a nonprofit board that co-funds that. That's been a wonderful support for families. And then we set it up so that it's really the equity the way it's supposed to work, conservative style. Mm-hmm. So we provide all the supplies short of a backpack and gym shoes. Mm-hmm. We have just started running the preschool tuition free. So, and what's nice about that is parents love it because it makes all the hustle and bustle getting ready for school a little easier. You don't have to send out, you know, supply lists per se, because everything's waiting for the child when they show up. But outside of that, it's all about the parent. Mm-hmm. So each family is different. Each child is different, different talents, different needs, different backgrounds, different creeds. And so that's the mojo of the culture in the school. So we take each student as they come in the door and we get to know them, if they have siblings, their parents. And then we work specifically with those families so that we are support for the family at home. And it's been a huge rubric of success. In other words, we do not judge. We're not here to tell parents what's right or wrong. We're here to get to know them. And then we say, how can we help? And it's working because we have a huge waiting list, obviously. Mm-hmm. Everything amplified with COVID.
I'm curious because you, like me, you know, mm-hmm. I've got a job that I love and I'm doing a thing that I'm yeah. pretty good at. And yet I'm looking around me and my state's on fire. The country is on fire, just figuratively and literally. Mm-hmm. You know, you're looking at what's happening in Portland right now.
Yeah.
I was born in Portland, and mm-hmm. that's where I met your wife at yep. Portland Christian. And I care about what's happening there. And I care about what's happening here where I live, to the point where I was willing to put down the things that I'm trying to pursue as just, you know, a career path and whatever mm-hmm. has been good for just for our family, and say, okay, it's time to start getting involved. This is a representative government and we are not being well represented.
No.
And we're not being represented by true leaders. We need leaders who will actually bring unity to the country mm-hmm. instead of tearing us apart. This is exactly what the Biden administration is doing. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious from your perspective, as someone who's worked in the public schools, you and I come at this, I think we want the same things. We're coming at it differently. I've chosen to homeschool and to really help parents take charge of their children's education that way. But I'm curious as to your answer to the question of the role of the federal government in education. So one of the things I keep hearing over and over again as a criticism toward me as a person who's running for Congress is, don't talk about education. The federal government has nothing to do with education. You shouldn't run on it. It's a waste of time. Except for the federal government has its fingers all over education.
True.
And as a superintendent, surely you must see this.
Yeah, you know, the federal government has tremendous power. For any of your viewers to understand, they have the power of the purse mm-hmm. and money talks. I'm just telling you straight up. So the federal government gives millions of dollars, billions of dollars in support of state education mm-hmm. systems all over the country. And remember, each state's different. Some have education guarantees in their state constitutions. Usually the younger the state, the more guarantees it has. Mm-hmm. We see that with like Hawaii and even Washington, Idaho.
This would be socialism.
Versus New York, that where the mayor's the superintendent because they never had a constitutional
right?
guarantee.
Yes.
And so what I'm saying is the weight of the federal government can change by state, but the power is massive. If the federal government says tomorrow, any state or local program nationwide that receives federal money is no longer allowed to teach critical race theory. Mm-hmm. It would die tomorrow.
Yeah.
That's the power the federal government has.
Yeah. And that is something the Congress can speak directly to.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, parents, you know, as parents who care about the future of our children, we need to recognize that just like we've got the Department of Education, we've got, you know, Common Core, which, mm-hmm. hello, we could talk about that all day long.
Yeah.
But the federal government has its fingers all over the education system. And you're mm-hmm. talking now about moving from a position of being a superintendent in a very successful school district in Oregon to moving into the governor's mansion to possibly mm-hmm. Solving problems for the state of Oregon at a completely different, from a completely different vantage point, but really you'd be using the same principles because you bring them with you wherever you go. Mm-hmm. So tell me, what would motivate somebody like you to get off the bench and onto the battlefield, to leave what was, I'm sure, a very secure job, and you're probably doing just fine. You probably mm-hmm. had a nice house and a great life.
I do.
And so why would you want to put yourself out there to be tarred and feathered by the progressives in Oregon State who are going to go after your character and go after your family and go after your record and try to take your job from you?
Sure.
Why is it so important that you make this switch right now?
Well, because they've always been doing that, because I'm an innovative school superintendent. We're also a charter school. We started Learn at Home Oregon, which is an online platform, and that grew from zero kids in late August when we opened to 500 by November. It's a teacher-driven program. It's changing the culture and the process for options for parents. And so they're already doing that. Now, for the viewers to understand, I've done years, started in 2010 with government policy. I had to pass modify a bill to fund the Yonkala School District, which I was superintendent at the time. And so I got in with Bruce Hanna and Arnie Roblin when the House was tied, half Republican, half Democrat.
Oh, the good old days.
Yeah, and ironically, the great progressive Senator Prozanski wrote the bill. So I worked with people on both sides of the aisle, and by hook or crook, I got the law passed and the funding to the district. That district has been solvent ever since. Mm-hmm. And so once you cut your teeth on that and you see how broken the system is, because I've had multiple policy solutions that in bills and things, some of which have passed. Like work after retirement, that kind of thing in Oregon that have been a real benefit for people, but never the full concept, because anytime you solve a problem, it creates a problem for those who are benefiting from the problem not being solved.
That's right.
So that's why in order to
this
really...
This is critical race theory. I mean, as you said that, I was saying to myself, of course. So we have a problem that's not being solved. So the people, if we do solve it, then the people who are benefiting from the problem no longer benefit.
Well,
so
it's
let's
the
make
system,
everybody have the problem.
Yeah. I didn't mean to cut you off. It's the system serving itself is what it is. And critical race theory perpetuates... It keeps people distracted against each other rather than saying, what should the role of government be? What obligation does the state have to fight forest fires like what happened in Oregon? Mm-hmm. Why were the planes grounded? Mm-hmm. You know, granted, there were high winds, but the planes could have flown. Mm-hmm. And what would people have seen? Mm-hmm. And that kind of leadership is completely derelict in Oregon.
Yes.
In other words, the governor's in the House, but the governor doesn't act. Mm-hmm. And so we have the least popular governor in the history of Oregon, and she doesn't seem to register that because she's keeping people safe. Well, the thing is, it takes actions to keep people safe. It takes innovation, and it also takes a recognition that government is here to serve the people. Mm-hmm. And so the government should be working for the people, and the people should be able to articulate at every level of society what the government is doing for them. Mm-hmm. And you do not see that right now.
Mm-hmm. No, you don't. See? You don't see it from the federal government. You don't see it at the state level. No. And it's hurting us.
Yeah.
It's doing terrible damage. The lockdowns are doing terrible damage. What they're doing with these really illogical mandates that keep coming down, and they keep moving the goalposts, and so they frustrate their citizens. Mm-hmm. And I would imagine, you know, that you are very much like me and finally took a look at it and said, no more, I'm done. And it's worth it. Like, this is our country. It's our government. And it should be a citizen-led government. And people that have been living with the consequences of these actions need to start stepping up to the plate. And you've seen that locally, right? You're telling people like I am, hey, run for your school board.
Yes.
Get involved in your community. Start running for city council. Mm-hmm. Let your voice be heard. Because if not, it's only the activists whose voices are heard. And those are the actions that are implemented.
Well, and that's the piece. The best politician, Heidi, is the person maybe like yourself that never wanted to be one.
Yeah.
And those are the politicians that we look back on in history, and also activists like Martin Luther King and others. Mm-hmm. If you asked any, Abe Lincoln, you know, Mother Teresa, asked any of them when they were 16 if they would be president of the United States or change a charity in India or Gandhi, right, kick a whole colonial empire out, create independence, or stop a religious-driven war by not eating. These are amazing things that people have done, and none of them wanted to do it. And so that's why I feel compelled. I want to try, and I know my ideas are very sound because they keep working. Mm-hmm. So just so the viewers know, I filed a whistleblower complaint on December 18th in Oregon, citing the fact that the data in Oregon that the Oregon Health Authority was using wasn't jibing with reality. In other words, I asked one question to the epidemiologist, and the reason I did it is they were telling me they changed the rules so my school would have to close. Mm-hmm. We were the only
arbitrary rules.
Yeah, we were the only school that had been open all year for full-time in-person education, successfully, with mitigations, of course. And I was like, no, this is unacceptable. They called it safe harbor, and they were going to take it away. So I thought, well, I'll look at the data. And I just asked one question, one powerful question. And then I went at it with the state epidemiologists. I have a science background and I'm not a dumb guy. You know, I try to know what I'm doing. Most of us do. So I just said, how is it possible that sporadic cases are up four times, so 400%. So double. And hospitalizations are either flat or and now trending down. That's impossible. Mm-hmm. And that one question was so powerful that it ended up creating a whole series of conversations in which led to Oregon opening up after January 1st. Mm-hmm. And that was such a shocking piece because what I discovered in my research was that anyone could go to a website at the Oregon Health Authority and put in an official COVID case. So I did. I wrote in a Korean woman with COVID, and then I put my cell phone, my email, my name, Mark Thielman, is the physician. And then I said, go ahead and call me. And that got entered into the COVID record. That is scary. That is not a government of the people.
No. And we need to start asking questions. Mm-hmm. You know, months and months ago at the beginning of COVID, I did a Facebook Live that ended up being viral. It's been seen a couple million times. And I said to everybody, it's not wrong to ask questions.
Yeah.
And what we're seeing happening, and this is absolutely happening in Oregon and Washington, it's happening all over the country right now, is that dissent is being squashed mm-hmm. and questions aren't allowed to be asked. And they're certainly not being answered. Mm-hmm. And so what is the role? This comes, you know, over and over again. What is the role of the government? What is the role of a good governor? If Oregon had a good governor right now, would the state still be locked down? That's a great question.
Well, government should be a facilitator of healthy market forces and innovation. So, for example, you never noticed that they never seem to solve the affordable housing problem. It's been 40 years.
Right.
I don't know. I've been around a while. And what's the solution? More money. Well, there's an approved list of contractors, all of whom pay for campaigns. If you're not on the approved list, you don't get government contracts. Then they have these very small, limited, affordable housings all paid at Davis-Bacon rate, a massive amount of markup, and half the money goes right off the top before a single house gets built. And by the time you get those built, there's such a glut that those affordable houses aren't affordable. And so
wait a minute, you're telling me this is all political?
Yes, because the system benefits and the people that become wealthy end up funding the very campaigns of people.
Sounds like corruption.
Well, it is. It is in a sense.
Yeah.
It's not so much like everybody's fully conscious of it. Mm-hmm. It's the way that the system perpetuates itself. Mm-hmm. And so you need to do it the opposite of that. In other words, if you want to incentivize affordable housing, you have to write policies that incentivize private developers to build it.
Yeah, to unleash the power of the private sector
and
say, hey, we're going to get you guys involved.
And you want to have strategic deregulations. For example, it took 7.5 years in Philomath, which is the town next to Alsea, to put up an apartment complex that was so badly needed. It should not take 7.5 years to approve an apartment complex development. And so
this is why Trump was all about deregulation, right? To unleash the power of the free market. Let's see what the market can do.
If you care about people, you will facilitate. People are good. Mm-hmm. People might be driven by, I want my contracting business to grow mm-hmm. So I can employ other people, so I can support families, mm-hmm. so I can build affordable housing. Mm-hmm. You have to create an environment in which people who have a passion for building housing pursue a passion for building housing.
Yeah.
You can't do it the other way where the experts at the top say we need this many home builders and this many. Oh, we've mm-hmm. seen too many examples in history. Mm-hmm. Venezuela, Cuba, Soviet Russia, communist China mm-hmm. up until it opened up recently. Mm-hmm. And so the thing is North Korea, I mean, you name it. None of those folks are thriving on an individual level like they do in the United States, where you can be your own person, have your own opportunities, pursue your own talents and skills.
Wait, freedom?
Well,
that sounds a little like freedom to me. That sounds a little bit like you might believe in a little bit of liberty and in the free market.
Well, freedom is the cheapest welfare system ever invented in human history.
Mm-hmm.
And when people are doing things as a product of their work, like providing jobs and that are family wage jobs and building housing, I mean, all I ever hear in Oregon is about minimum wage, minimum wage, minimum wage. They got it all wrong.
Mm-hmm.
We should only be talking about family wage jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And industries that support those jobs. They've got it completely backwards. And we see that coming in. So it's almost like, you know, we'll create more dependency to grow the system. And that's not healthy for people. You want to do it the other way around. You want to take people, you want to put them through school and say, just like Shelby, what are your skills and talents?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to be a singer? We're going to facilitate you mm-hmm. developing that talent.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of your self-expression, it's part of your identity. And even if she never becomes a singer, she's going to learn how to learn. She's going to learn how to work. She's going to learn how to care and interact with people.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to learn how to get up on a stage and sing. What
she's
a wonderful
get a boost
skill.
In self-confidence.
She might run for Congress.
She might.
She might be doing a podcast. So I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, and it's a wonderful way for I think citizens to expect from their government that the government would have the best interest of the people at heart.
Mm-hmm.
That we're really listening to people. This is something that hasn't been happening for a very long time. This is absolutely true of the governor of Washington State and of Oregon and many other states around our nation right now, where the people no longer feel heard.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've turned our government over to bureaucrats who have been in the system now for a long, long time, bureaucrats and activists, and they're not actually living out the day-to-day consequences of the decisions that they're making for the people that they're supposed to be serving. And I love that you're willing to step out there. I think more and more people need to step out onto the battlefield. It really is a battlefield.
Yeah.
But this country is worth fighting for.
Mm-hmm.
The most amazing country on the face of the earth, with the most amazing founding document, the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence ever known to man.
Yeah.
And it's been an amazing experiment, and we're about to lose it. We're at the jumping off place.
Well, I want to give people a little hope, because you and I live in Washington, Oregon, where where things are a little bit more extreme.
Mm-hmm.
We just passed a bond in ALSEA, and we're working with a contractor or an architect out of Idaho. And it is hilarious listening to him when he flies
in. I bet.
And he has been, his name's Scott. He's been so healthy for me, you know, having grown up in northern Idaho near Spokane, Washington, where I grew up.
Beautiful.
So that's my stomping grounds. I know Idaho.
Mm-hmm.
But when he comes here, he says, you know, when I go to Boise, the airport is packed. When I come to Portland, it's empty.
Yeah. Yep.
He said it's surreal when he drives downtown Portland. And then he comes down to ALSEA, and we are just like in Idaho. We're talking about individuals and innovation. How do we become efficient? How do we get the most bang for our dollar? And he says it's a surreal experience for him. And
mm-hmm.
so, you know, the rest of the country isn't necessarily like this. Unfortunately, though, the people in power are.
Yes.
And that's why we need everyone listening to this podcast to support your campaign.
Mm-hmm.
It only takes one person to say, this doesn't make sense. Please explain it to me scientifically, epidemiologist. And then they can't. And then they say big words like stochastic analysis.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, great, show me your stochastic analysis.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this giant crickets in the background. Because I said, I don't think you've done one.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the deal. And this is how you keep from getting canceled. I'm running a school district. We're the only school district open. I need good data to determine whether or not I have to close in January.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went to look at your data,
it's not good. Yep.
Something's wrong.
Yep. Yep. Something is wrong.
Well, here's why. I think I'm going to be competitive for my own right as a Oregonian, an adopted Oregonian who loves the state of Oregon. I don't like being lied to. And I've never met anyone who did. Not one person. I've ever never met them. Have you ever met them?
Never.
And government should not lie to the people. And so, you know, I'll put in a plug for Learn at Home Oregon and ALSEA. I send out email updates, and we educate our parents on how to look for symptoms and, you know, hey, go ahead and keep your kid home. There's no penalty. And if you need testing, we'll call and get it set up for you. We do all our own contact tracing. If we waited for the poor county, and granted, I like our local county partners, they've been great. But they're swamped. They can't keep up with contact
tracing.
Well,
why is it that we're not, you know, I keep telling parents, you know, and anybody who will listen, actually, that health doesn't come from a mask and a needle.
It doesn't.
You know, we need to be telling these people, hey, take your vitamins, get out there, get some fresh air. If you don't feel good, don't come to school. Like, this is what we've been doing forever and ever. Amen. Wash your hands. It's a balanced diet. None of this stuff coming down from the government.
Well, let me give you an example. We bring kids in from, you know, 9 communities. We bus them in. Probability says we should have had a school-sourced COVID outbreak. And more so than most small schools, we have had zero COVID outbreaks that have been sourced at the school. All of the kids that we've had that have had COVID, all of them were traced to, it's usually a parent and it's usually household spread. So the thing is, when you start getting into the reality of it, you realize that the huge injustice that government is foisting on the people. Mm-hmm. Government is here to serve the people, but right now, our governor in Oregon says that we are here to serve the whim of the government, which is why we have permanent rules now saying masks will be a permanent thing until the experts decide they won't be. That's crazy.
It is crazy. And that's Kate Brown, right?
Yes.
So is she able to do that?
Well, it hasn't gone to the courts. Obviously, it will be challenged, but the state Supreme Court is 40 years of one-party rule. They've had some really strange decrees in support of the governor, and they don't make sense. And, you know, I challenged the Oregon Health Authority recently on that through the OSAA with Peter Weber down there trying to get football and basketball open.
Right.
And, you know, and fighting with Title IX because our volleyball girls couldn't have parents watch their game, but the football team could because they were outside. That's a violation of federal law. And you wouldn't think, I thought, all the equity people would support me. They didn't.
It's amazing.
It was scary.
It is scary. And I think people need to understand the difference, how the progressives see the word equity versus the word equality, which we get from the Declaration of Independence, that we see that all men are created equal. Mm-hmm. And that's how we should view it. The moment we start bringing equity in, which is we want an equal outcome now, we're all about equal opportunity. Everyone should have an equal opportunity. And then the outcome is up to the person who did or did not do their homework, who did or did not show up to class, who did or did not decide to do their very best work. What we've done is and this is socialism, right? Mm-hmm. You strip away the incentive because now we're going to make sure that the outcome is all the same. Well, then the person who's working really hard to get that A in school and staying up till 2 a.m. and doing their homework has just got completely disincentivized because you're going to strip him of his award at the end of the day and the reward for the work that he's done. And we see this all throughout the government right now.
Well, but competition is racist, see?
Right. So, oh, that's right.
So here's what I'd recommend. Flip that on the inverse. Name one loving parent. I have 7 children. I have stepchildren. I fostered, adopt 3 children. 1 highly special needs. I got a couple of bio kids. Love each and every one. I have been so blessed with the ability to be a dad, right, wrong, or indifferent. I think you have 7 kids yourself.
I do, yes.
That's amazing, by the way.
It's a wild ride. I love it.
No 2 are the same, are they?
No.
Mm-mm. I've never had 2 kids the same. And so the piece of it is I want my kids to be open-ended. I don't want to have 7 of the same. Mm-hmm. And let me give you an example. In California, they just, it was in the news, they are discouraging talented students of math from pursuing tag math programs.
So from excelling.
Yeah, they're not going to encourage them or try to connect families to them. Who do you want operating on your brain, Heidi?
The person who's in the tag program.
Yeah. Hello. And that's what I'm saying. See, you look at what loving parent wouldn't want their kids to be actualized based on their own unique talents and skills.
Yeah. No, it's exactly right. And I think as we move, I am really hoping and praying, and I know you are too, that enough people will start to stand up and say, no, enough is enough is enough. We're not gonna let you steal the language. We're not gonna let you tell our children that they can't excel because another student didn't. Mm-hmm. And it's time to sort of stop the narrative that's been pushed on us for too long. And I think what the real criminal thing, and the reason I put my hat in the ring to run for Congress, and the reason you're running for governor, is because we've realized now that for all of these years, while we are trying to, you know, get a little piece of the American dream, while we're raising our families and teaching our children to be good citizens and to love this country, the people that we have elected to represent us have been doing the opposite.
Absolutely,
they've been tearing this country down. They've been not balanced. Balancing the budget. I mean, you and I both have fairly large families, and I can tell you right now, we better learn how to balance a checkbook or we're not going to have much of a life. right? True. Because we're going to be in debt. And once you're in debt, you're a slave. Well, guess what? Our nation's enslaved right now.
Absolutely.
We're enslaved to people who have put us into bondage. And I'm just here to shout and scream, you know, let my people go. Enough is enough is enough. And it's going to take ordinary citizens running for office. I'm so proud of what you're doing. And I know you'd be so good for Oregon.
We're going to go at it.
I'm excited for you. Where can people find you online?
Well, obviously at the Alsea School District website, but also the campaign is getting ready to launch here and we were ramping up really quick. So it's Mark, M-A-R-C, fororegon.com. Again, it's markfororegon.com. Real simple. And that'll be the campaign website and we're going to get ready to rock and roll. I think I'm the first superintendent I know of in Oregon to ever at least put his hat in the ring for governor. So see, I'm a trendsetter.
I love it. Well, that needs to happen. I mean, this really is all of the people that founded this nation were trendsetters. They are people who left their plows and their fields and their families because this nation was worth fighting for.
Well, and the nation's better off for it.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. And I know you believe that. The nation's worth fighting for. Oregon and Washington are, you know, people are leaving in droves because of these tyrannical mandates and a very, very poor leadership at the congressional level, at the Senate level, and also obviously at the level of governor. And I know you agree with me. And I'm telling people, you know, I will not be driven from my home. It's too precious of a place to live. The people here are precious and they're worth fighting for. And I know that's what you're doing.
Well, and as governor, you know, one of the things I can guarantee is I am not going to dub parents as oppressors. That's
insane.
Are the greatest invention of Mother Nature. They are fantastic. That's why so many animals are parents.
Yep.
And for us as human beings, parents are the cheapest way to raise good citizens.
Yeah,
not
that's
welfare,
right.
not government programs.
It's not the welfare. And maybe the government could do a better job of just saying, hey, parents, we trust you. Mm-hmm. We trust you that you love your children and you know what's best for your children. And we're going to help you in whatever way that we can. And I know that you're going to be good for Oregon. So I wish you all the best.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's really been a pleasure to have you here. It's exciting to see what you're doing for the Alsea School District. And I can't wait to hear what happens in the weeks and months to come.
Well, when you're back in Washington, D.C., say hi to all the good peeps for me.
Okay, I'll see what I can do.
I appreciate it. So thank you.
Mark Thielman, it's been a joy to have you here. For more information on this campaign and many others, as we are bringing them here at America's Town Hall with Heidi St. John, you guys can go to the show notes today and I'll link back to it for you like I always do. I want to encourage you. You can find out about these runs if you are interested in getting involved, and I hope that you will be. Candidates like Mark and myself, we need your support. If you're tired of what's happening, we need to start putting our money where our mouth is. These campaigns, and I know Mark's campaign will be expensive.
Yep.
That's the nature of it. Nobody likes it, but that's the reality. And you guys can find out more at markfororegon.com and HeidiSt.JohnForCongress.com. Thanks for listening, everybody. And we'll see you back here again next time.